All right, final segment here. He has been the head coach now going into his 33rd season. Pretty remarkable. He is Paul McGinley. He is the head coach of the Trinity men's soccer team in San Antonio. He's had an outstanding career, not only growing that program into a nationally recognized program, he's done it with some Houston area players as well. And of course, he's really made his mark in both the youth and college scene. Here's Paul McGinley. Paul, thank you so much for coming on.
Glenn, thanks for the opportunity and the chance for you and I to catch up once more. It's been far too long.
Yeah, it has been far too long. And part of this is I just love watching your career and shining the light on people that a lot of times, you know, you've gotten a lot of attention in your career, but it was about time that I put some light on everything. I just want to talk to you about 33 seasons and building a program and eventually living your life in the San Antonio, Central Texas area.
Well, it's been a fantastic journey. I think I came here to Texas around the same time that you did, Glenn, early 90s, and didn't really have too many expectations arriving at Trinity. It was an opportunity, certainly, to build a program from scratch as the first full-time head coach. But I think, thinking back, I thought it might be a cup of coffee for a couple of years and then move on to something different. But just annually, the support of the university and the environment that I've been able to create here has just kept me here, and I'm not going anywhere. This is home, and it's been home for 33 years.
And Trinity has an incredible reputation that you've built. The culmination was a 2003 national title, but a lot of this is about the relationships you have maintained with your ex-players. You've put players into the pros like Lance Key, Alex Woods, many others. You've had many other players go on into coaching careers. So just speak to me about, you know, the point where a college athlete who you're mentoring, you're working with, both on the academic side and the football side, the soccer side, but then you go on to see them achieving things and some of them remaining in the game. Maybe speak to that.
Yeah, I think I have the same pride as you do with some of the same players that you and I coach, you at the youth level, and then you handed them over to me, trusting me to work with them through the college years. And it's so gratifying to see them still in the game. I mean, I think immediately of, you know, your call in the early 90s to say you got a midfielder from Straight Jesuit by the name of Chris Garcia Prats, and he went on to captain our team for a couple of years. An enormous force as a person, a player, and now a coach, and now a father, and he's got his program out in Iowa, and he just really kicked off a long legacy of student athletes that stayed in the game and has gone on to coach in or some other soccer involvement. Alex Woods has got his youth program in Houston, and he's synonymous with working with the youth there, and my memory is sharp that I can remember walking him out on the field after flying him in from Houston. I said, Alex, I know you're not the tallest kid in the world, but all of this can be yours. And he was a magician. And ironically, it was a header in the national championship that advances to the championship game. And, you know, he was 5'6", maybe 130 pounds, but 129 pounds heart.
Yeah, ton of great guys. Lance Key is now the coach at Hardin-Simmons. Some will remember him in Major League Soccer as a defender. And then one of your assistants just got the job at Claremont. You got to be pretty happy about that, and that's maybe a team you might face.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that opportunity because I would love Edward to advance his team. And, of course, postseason play has been in our present and our future, you know, for many years. So Edward was 4 years as player for me in the mid-2000s and 11 years my trusty lieutenant on my right-hand side for all this time. So it's been a big loss this past couple of weeks, but I'm so proud of, you know, his accomplishments and Claremont taking him on as their next head coach.
Paul McGinley joining us. He is the quickest soccer coach in the college game to win 500 games. He's going into his 33rd season. Trinity has a fantastic program, fantastic education. How important is it to have an athletic director in the school behind the program? It's kind of a silly question because I think I know the answer, but you know, it is so important to have the, you know, we know your belief in soccer and what it can do in a college environment, but you got to have the administration behind you as well, don't you?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, the infrastructure at Trinity has made things so much easier to just allow me to do my job, and with tremendous support from Bob King, my athletic director, and all the way up to our vice president, Eric Malouf, who, you know, his membership number in the Trinity Soccer Fan Club is 001. You know, he's just that kind of supporter. And throughout our department, and then obviously with the support of our alumni, they've all made it possible to be able to produce championship teams, because it's not just the coach and the player. I'm sure professional organizations know that too, and other college programs. You just really need an infrastructure of support, and we've been so fortunate to have that.
He's Paul McGinley, the head coach of Trinity Men's Soccer, going into year 33. And as I speak to you, Paul, you know, I do remember, and a lot of college coaches followed this path back in the day, which was, hey, you got to get involved with the local youth. In your area, you did that with a youth club called Classics Elite. Maybe take me into that. And that club, I think you and I were talking, still exists in the San Antonio area.
Yeah, it was, at that time in San Antonio, as the game was growing, I thought, if I'm going to be a factor in town, I'm either going to be a solution to the problem or part of the problem. So I tried to go with the former option and build a program. You need an administration behind you. You know, fields just don't just appear for coaches and players to jump on. So Marco Barros was very influential and still exists as the president of the club right now. And they've moved along their program, and the boys and girls program has, you know, succeeded over the years. It was at a time, a difficult time, you know, I was a young soccer coach. I was head of the Region 3 LDT program, and now I'm director of coaching at Classics Elite, and I have the Trinity soccer program, and, you know, something had to give. So I brought in our friend Brian Monahan from Houston to take over as DOC. And so the program still exists, but there was a lot of travel and summer commitments with the Olympic Development Program, which I had a lot of belief and faith in the kind of players that program facilitated and produced. A lot of players that are household names came through the Region 3 OUP program.
All right, speak to me about one, because you got a great story about Clint Dempsey, who was on your regional ODP team. You were on a trip in Argentina.
Yeah, his college coach, Doug Allison, at Furman, he made it possible for Clint and I to meet up again last summer, which was fantastic after what turned out to be 25 years. But yeah, we took Clint down to Buenos Aires and played against Boca Juniors, River Plate, and San Lorenzo. And at 17, Boca Juniors, after the game, said, this kid's staying in Argentina. And he said, no, he's off to college. And they just couldn't quite understand that an American player would pass up on the opportunity to play with Boca. But we got an education down there as how football was played. I think we were on the receiving end of a 6-1 defeat, if my memory serves me right, which it does. Those opportunities, who knows how much they helped in Clint's development and the development of many of the players that have come through the program and gone on to either college and or the professional game. But it was certainly a time with a lot of fond memories, making those excursions abroad with some fantastic coaches.
Those are some names you're bringing up that I was involved in some regional ODP camps. Doug Allison and Brian Monahan. I think Brian and I were roommates at one of them in Oklahoma. if I remember correctly. But let's go way back, and probably nobody really cares. So we won't go any farther on that. But those were great times. And honestly, Paul, for me, learning as a coach and running a youth program for many, many years and doing some of the same things you did, you know, going down to Atlas in Mexico and going down to Monterey, bringing coaching points out and learning, you know, the ability to do that with clarity helped me so much in the broadcast industry and in television when breaking games down, because I started as an analyst before turning it over to play-by-play. So it's interesting how these things can interconnect. I want to get back to you, though, because you talked about those experiences in Argentina. Having San Antonio FC right nearby and then Austin FC up the road, this has to be good for your program.
You know, it's a time period, thinking back to the 90s and 2000s, and you probably share the same thoughts, Glenn, that I never really thought this time would come in my lifetime. And Tim Holt and Alan Marcina, Juan La Madrid at San Antonio FC have done a fantastic job elevating the program to current USL champions. And I've been fortunate enough to attend half a dozen or so Austin FC games, and that atmosphere and what's been created there is something special that, you know, any club around the world would love to play in that kind of environment.
And last year, San Antonio FC winning the title in that beautiful stadium.
Yeah, it was a fun time for the town. It really was. And to have two teams so close by, I look forward to the day when there's an MLS matchup between between the two clubs. I think it would just be a fantastic rivalry that I hope I see. I was at the game in the Open Cup a couple of years ago when San Antonio were fortunate to advance to the next round, but I could see that rivalry being something, maybe not River Boca, but based on my time in Austin, those fans, they support their team.
Paul McGinley joining us, Trinity men's soccer coach going into year 33, has built this program from scratch, has done an amazing job. The field is named after Paul. It's Paul McGinley Field. It's a wonderful environment. If you want to go out and see excellent college soccer in a really, really cool kind of intimate environment, that's the field. Now, you've had a lot of big clubs come in there and national teams training at your facilities. Speak to that a little bit and mention some of the clubs that have come there and some of the international national teams that have come in.
Yeah, we've had great fortune with U.S. soccer calling us whenever the national team is in the San Antonio area. Jürgen Klinsmann brought the squad for a 7-day training camp at Trinity a few years ago. We've had three Mexican national teams also train down here on the field, and as you can imagine, it was with three different Mexican head coaches. Jamaica brought.
I'm laughing because Diego Coca just got named the coach of Mexico a while back. You know, they're on another coach now, so that's why I'm laughing ahead of the U.S.-Mexico game Wednesday. So carry on, Paul.
Yeah, I couldn't do any relationship building with the staff because it was a different crew each time. But and the Gold Cup game between Mexico and Jamaica, Jamaica spent some time training at our facility too. So John Hackworth brought the under-20s in to play Mexico ahead of actually the under-17s. Wolfgang brought the 20s. Wolfgang Sunholz brought the 20s in for a training camp also. So it's nice to have a facility worthy enough to to have these programs come spend some time with us. It's just fantastic, and they're very open with our players. I remember during the warm up and the cool down, Jürgen Klinsmann would visit with our teams and you know, let them know what the purpose of the session was and what he was going to do. And so it was just nice to have, you know, those personalities on the grass.
Paul, what's the biggest takeaway? 33 years here. I mean, like you said, you thought you were going to be there maybe a couple of years. What's the biggest takeaway for you? If I was looking deep into your heart from this experience going into year 33 and building this and being a part of the community and honestly, a legendary coach in Texas.
Well, you're very generous, Glenn. I think it's an easy answer. It's the relationships at the time with the players. You know, as a coming in as young shavers, as I like to call them, at 18 and graduate at 22 and throw them into the world, and they're without fail better individuals with great opportunities ahead of them. I think back to my squad from 1991, and I could name that starting lineup without any hesitation. And you know, to have the connection with them to this day is something that's very special. So we've been fortunate to have great players come and play for us, and then even greater alums leave the program and go do their thing, from, you know, in every occupation, you know, known to man. It's we've been very successful.
Paul, you have been an amazing guider, soccer coach, mentor, all the other things that come along with being a coach and working with young men. I want to thank you very much for coming on. I've appreciated, even though we haven't kept in touch, or certainly I haven't, I should have been contacting you as good as maybe we should have. When I hear your name mentioned, your program, it's fond memories and more to come, obviously, here going into year 33. So thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. And this is a real good one for people in Texas and around the country.
Well, time is always the enemy, Glenn. But, you know, when you picked up the phone and asked if I would be a guest on the show, there was obviously no hesitation. But I think back to our days in the early 90s and where we are now, and, you know, a lot's changed, but also a lot hasn't.
We weren't doing it to make millions, that's for sure. We were doing it because of the real deep passion for the sport, and that's another reason why I have so much respect for you. Paul, thank you very much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Glenn. Stay well.